from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
One of those things, couple of guys.
Andy Randy!
Randy. Having discussion.
I be on it all night, man. I be on it all day. Straight up pimp. If you want me, you can find me in that.
What are you looking at me like that for?
What you talking about? We're supposed to make eye contact.
It's the Midday Show with
Andy Barker and my son, my baby boy, Randy McMichael.
When I crack open this mic.
That was the most media member thing that's ever been said.
Starring Randy Montez McMichael as Randy and my firstborn son, Andrew Stephen Bunker as Andy.
You can't say Randy without saying Andy. It's the Andy and Randy Midday Show.
Boring answer.
Just make sure you don't touch that dial, then we'll be cool. Touch it and use the fool.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Yeah. Good morning. Welcome in Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Midday Show with Andy and Randy with you here on a hump day.
Hump day.
Hump day.
It's Wednesday. We're here in Flowery Branch, Falcons training camp. Practice is, about 15, 20 minutes away from wrapping it up. Had a chance to go out there and check out some of practice before we came on the air this morning. Good morning to you, Randy. How are you?
What's happening, man? All good, Andy Bunker. Man, it's a beautiful day here in Flowery Branch. As they got finished watching them practice, which was by the time we came to get on there, we saw, like you said, a great play. I split out wide at the exhibition all alone, one-on-one. With a safety, beats him off the line. Kurt throws a perfect ball, touchdown. And when we were just talking about those 4.5, if those are going to be looks they get, he should have somewhere around 8 or 9.
That one right there could have been one of them.
Yeah, man. I mean,
that
was just an unbelievable route.
Yeah.
Just throw everything. And then, you know, obviously you want to see more production in the red zone from Kyle Pitts. And we talk, we know a lot of the reason why that was not the case. But,
there's a number of reasons.
But, I mean, I got here right at the team period. Abe, you were talking about, you know, Drake London having a big day, making plays and everything like that. Because this passing game is going to have to, you know, it's going to have to be – one of those things where when the Falcons were successful, they were able to score points. They're going to have to score points now. They still want to run the football, Bijan? Hell yeah. But making big plays, making explosive play, because you got playmakers that can do that, is going to make this offense just that much harder to guard.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think explosive plays is one of those areas that this offense has just been lacking, especially last year. A couple of years ago, you'd hit an explosive run every once in a while with the way that the run game was. But yeah, I mean, that's just something that hasn't been a part of it. Is hopefully you can establish whatever the identity is you want it to be offensively. I imagine it probably will start with the passing game, but like you said, they want Bijan to be a huge part of it as well, and Tyler Allgeier. But if you can get the run game going, use Kirk Cousins' ability in the play-action game. Use those big body, like those guys, London and Pitts, and then some of the faster guys they have to hit those explosives. Like, you just have a lot more layers to your offense, the potential layers to your offense with this team than you've had in a while, honestly, in years, which is exciting. I mean, it really is. And again, we were out there watching them practice. Now, the flip side of seeing plays like that against your own team is always, well, somebody got beat.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Now you got beat by Kyle Pitts. Yeah. You know, safety lined up out wide on Kyle Pitts on the line. That's going to happen. That is the flip side of it. And sort of zeroing in on what this defense is going to be capable of, I think, is going to be a big story between now and Pittsburgh. Because of the injuries that they sustained in preseason game number one, because of the limitations, like the depth limitations they already had on defense anyway, and that, you know, that's just something that hasn't changed. It hasn't gone away. Maybe they make an addition or two before the season gets here to try to address it. Or maybe there's a story in camp that pops up, a guy that you didn't really expect to be a part of it that might end up being a part of the defense. And we got a chance to talk to a guy later on this hour in Kevin King that might be him. He might be a part of that story. You know, I mean, makes the interception in the first preseason game, hasn't played in the NFL in a couple of years for a variety of reasons. We'll get into that. But, like, he's got a chance to make the squad. Like, he's got a chance to play.
If you tell me that a healthy Kevin King isn't one of the best four corners on his roster.
Right.
It went healthy. That's what I'm saying, healthy.
And that's a huge if.
Because you think about going back. When he was drafted by Green Bay, he was third pick.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, he was damn near first-rounder anyways. And we all know his story. And hopefully when we get him on, we'll talk to him about that journey that he's been going through to get back to where he is now. But, yeah, I mean, you got to have always that one guy. And me and you talk about it all the time. You know, that guy that you're not talking about, like you just said, before camp. And then you see the preseason game, he flashes. And then yet you continuously hear good things about him on the practice field. And he has an opportunity to contribute to the team coming this fall and everything. But, yeah, they still got to get some help. They still need to go get another safety. They still got to go get another pass rusher. And those things are, you know, I don't want to say top of the, you know, an urgent type thing they got to do. But they got to get somebody because they don't have anybody to replace the guys that are there. Because you're talking about you're losing a dude in Helm, who was your third safety, who was going to play a lot, you know, in this year. And then you're talking about Trice, who was going to be in that rotation.
Yeah.
He was going to be in the pass rush rotation. So
there was just as good a chance as him being your most productive pass rusher as any of the other guys that are on the edge.
Correct. So you got to find somebody or some help to, you know, because he's got coming back this year.
Nope.
And then it's always what we were just talking about, you know, previous conversation was somebody that we haven't heard about stepping in that role. Well, I haven't heard anybody as far as a pass rusher.
Neither have I.
Yeah.
Neither have I. Maybe that'll happen.
Maybe. Maybe.
We're back to that conversation
again. We're not going to do that. We're not going to get your sack. Well, you lost all your sack envy, right?
Well, it took my life.
It took your life.
I passed away.
Okay.
If it was the member of the Oregon Trail video game, Die of Dysentery.
Yes.
I died of sack envy.
Okay. Well, I mean,
because
eventually you got to give up on it.
I fought a good fight.
Yeah, eventually you got to give up on it.
Yeah, it's just year over year, you know what I mean?
It took a toll on you.
It was terminal.
It took your toll, like Charlotte. It took its toll.
Yeah, and again, they haven't done anything to address it. So, you know what I mean?
Like, there's still time. There's still vets.
Yeah.
And it's one of it, and I know we cover Atlanta sports and everything, but it happens around the league all the time. This is when guys like Justin Houston and Melvin Ingram and those type of veteran players start, you know, narrowing down their choices. And a lot of times, there's a lot of teams after the second preseason game, they see what they have. And then you're like, okay, well, we need to add something now. And that's why if they don't add something – you know, this week, I would expect them, you know, after this Baltimore tape and everything, you look at it, it's like, okay, we got to upgrade this, or we got to get another body, or we got to get somebody better than our third guy in here. And so a lot of times you'll see that right before that. And then you also see it, you know, from a franchise perspective, is waiting until after week one to sign a guy so their whole contract will be guaranteed.
So they're not fully guaranteed.
Yeah.
My thing is just, and again, you're right. It happens. Those guys sign. Sometimes they come in and have – they have important impacts on the defense that they play for.
Right.
I would say they're pretty rarely come in and sort of be like the alpha dog on the edge of that defense, but maybe sometimes they are.
Right.
But you know, we're talking about like that's almost like a Hail Mary at this point. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you're going to sign a guy like that, because like Justin Houston is going to come in and play how many snaps?
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
exactly.
On a given Sunday.
Exactly.
And that is a guy that you bring in sort of to bolster. And if you're him, like, where do you sign, too? You know what I mean? Like,
because
if I'm Justin Houston, I want to go into a rotation where, okay, I know I'm only playing X amount of snaps on a Sunday. I'm backing up this guy who's – or at least I'm a part of a rotation with these guys that are really good. So at least I can get some numbers.
I
want to be good.
Yeah, I want to
win.
A good team.
Yeah, I'm trying to win.
I'm not coming out just to –
I'm 30-something years
like,
old.
If I'm Justin Houston, I'm not going to play for Carolina. You know, hell no. I want to go somewhere where we can – where
hell
it could be a – opportunity.
I'm 35 years old.
Oh, yeah, an opportunity or something.
Yeah.
You know, and so, yeah, so those are things that you view.
Didn't Justin Houston just get done playing for Carolina? I think he did. I think he played for Carolina last year.
Why am I going through that again?
Yeah, no thanks.
Yeah, why am I going? They probably gave him the most money.
Yeah, that's another part of it.
Like that. But, yeah, I'm like, why would I want to go back there? I see what it's like. And not necessarily just the team. I'm talking about the organization itself.
And the city. Just an awful place.
Yeah. So, why the hell would I want to go back there?
No thanks.
Yeah.
Anyway, Kevin King's going to join us later on in the hour. He is competing for one of those spots at corner. Played a little safety in college as well, but obviously you'd probably want him to be more of a corner. But an interesting story. Guy who hasn't been in the league in a couple of years. Injury related. It was actually his decision in 2022.
Right.
And then last year got hurt trying to make a comeback, and here he is. Got a relationship with Jimmy Lake from his college days. So we'll have a conversation with him. We'll get into what's trending coming up in about 10 minutes as well. Another gritty win for the Braves last night.
Charlie.
Yeah, honestly, Charlie Morton was really good last night, and that's coming off of a couple tough starts that he had been through. He goes six innings. He only gives up a couple of runs. He does get to his 2,000th
awesome.
Career strikeout
awesome.
As well, which is really cool. Cool milestone for a guy who's been in the game for a long time. And they needed it, man. Like, they needed him to pitch the way that he did, because San Francisco's a tough team. They don't have a great lineup, but they have a good pitching staff. And the Braves were able to scrap out another one.
In extra innings
again.
Off of?
That's right. Travis Darnomo had his best game of the season last night.
I think.
He hits a home run. He threw the guy out at second base from his knees,
yes.
Which was amazing. And then he made that another great play later in the game as well. Like, Darno was phenomenal.
Yeah, he was. And it was, you know, it shouldn't have went there, because you got a damn a wild pitch and you know, gave San Francisco what he was able
true.
To tie the game. But
he was unable to block that. But it was a bad pitch.
It was a horrible pitch.
Yeah.
But I thought that, you know, like you said, just the way they gritted it out and Charlie, because I heard Grant, he was on with Du Bois yesterday. And I know
he'll
Carl
be on with us today.
And Carl asked him, he said, is Charlie going to pitch well today? I don't know.
No.
If he's going by what the season is, he stuck last time, so he's going to be pretty good this time.
Yeah.
And so he was, congratulations, like you said, on 2,000 career strikeouts. And, I mean, great news, Michael Harris is coming back today.
He'll
he's
be back
be
today.
Solaire's been really good. So I'm talking about as far as at the plate. He's been really good since they've acquired him. And, you know, just continue to move forward. I mean, I'm trying to figure out, because I saw Kelnick caught the ball that won the game. Like, he hasn't played last couple of games.
No.
No, he hasn't started last
no,
couple
he
games.
Was a late defensive sub for Solaire.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is the right thing to do.
Right thing to do. But I'm like, because I thought about this this morning when I finished watching the game. And you remember how we always talk about, you know, them going out and signing a outfielder when you know what your outfielder is going to be the next few years. And we said it's going to be Michael, it's going to be Ronald, and it started to be it's going to be Kelnick, right?
Yeah.
Are we sure it's going to be Kelnick now?
No.
Okay.
No, we're not sure.
Yeah,
I mean, we're sure he'll be here.
Yeah, but when he was –
unless
he was
high, they trade him for something
in the
offseason.
Yeah, but I remember he was hiding, oh, we got our outfield set for years to come. And then, yeah.
No, I mean, I don't – yeah. I mean, the unfortunate thing about Kelnick was the best moments that he had came right in the wake of both of those guys getting injured,
yeah.
Right? Like, Acuna gets hurt, and then Harris gets hurt, and then Kelnick's in center and leadoff, and he had, like, a nice couple of weeks, and then completely fell off a cliff. So they've been a little bit more careful with him at the plate and all that kind of stuff. But, yeah, they brought him in late. Great play by Eli White.
Hell, yeah.
That was cool to see somebody actually make a nice play in the outfield.
Yeah.
Anytime a ball's been hit over an outfielder's head the last couple weeks, you just assume it's going to fall for extra bases. But Eli White makes an incredible defensive play late in that game to help win it. And Braves win the first two in San Francisco, which is important because don't look now, but they're competing against teams like San Francisco and others for that third wild card spot.
Sucks.
Yeah. It used to be, well, they're going to get into the playoffs. Yeah, man, they're fighting for their lives right now.
Yeah,
so
man.
Two big wins to start that series against the Giants out there in the Bay Area. All right. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll get into what's trending, tell you everything that's going on today. Again, Kevin King is going to join us, Falcons cornerback, later on in the hour. Thanks for being with us. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. Don't go anywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Ladies and gentlemen, now for What's Trending.
A look at the top trending headlines of the day.
Oh my God.
Brought to you by Reliable Heating and Air. Is your heating and cooling system aging? Reliable's got you covered for just $29.99 a month. No deductibles or service fees, just coverage. Call to find out more.
2-2 pitch. Struck him out. Strikeout number 2,000 in the tremendous career of Charlie. Just the 89th pitcher to 2,000 in baseball history, and only the seventh active player to hit that mark.
There you have it. Milestone last night for Charlie Morton. 2,000 career strikeouts. I'm kind of looking through his numbers now. I mean, obviously he started with the Braves back in 2008 and journeyed all over Pittsburgh and Philadelphia and Houston and Tampa. And
where did he win a ring at?
Here.
I know that. Does he have two?
Maybe Houston. I think he was a part of one of the Astros. World
Series. It was crazy bump because
one of the Astros.
When me and Sampson got home from I picked him up and he's like, "Who's pitching today for the Braves?" I said, "Charlie." He's like, "Doesn't Charlie have rings?" I was like, "I don't think so."
He does. Yeah, he does.
Okay.
Look at Sampson. He's our stat guy.
A wealth of knowledge right there in that 11-year-old body.
I don't know what happened in school,
but my man came down this morning with all black on.
Uh-oh.
Black socks, the black J's, black shirt, black pants. And I said, is there going to be an issue today? I said, no.
Got to set the tone early in sixth grade.
Yeah, I was like, you high? That's what I was saying. You high? Okay, now they're like, you going to whip some ass. Now, if you put Vaseline on your face, oh, I know it's on, dog. He came downstairs ready for war this morning. You all black showed up in all black today, huh?
Phenomenal.
I'd be cracking up this morning,
we
man.
We talked about it last week. Sixth grade, man. It's a battlefield.
Yeah, man.
You get God or you get him.
Yeah,
dog. You know?
Yeah, man came out with all black on this morning. I was like, damn, homie.
I love it. I love that so much. Anyway, congratulations to Charlie Morton for his 2,000th career strikeout. I'm not to be selfish. That's a nice big career achievement. Also, congratulations on having a great start last night.
Yes.
More happy that he had a really good start last night.
He gets off good. We can have something going.
Dude, it's all about curveball location.
Yep.
If he's got control of that curveball, he can have a nice start. If he doesn't know where it's going, the ball might go. Now, he did still give up one home run last night, but it was only a solo, and it was all right. So he was able to make it work. But six innings pitched, two earned runs, eight strikeouts, only one walk, put the Braves in a great situation. Jesse Chavez comes in and does his job. Pierce Johnson got a little bit of bad luck, but then he did spike that ball and ended up tying the game that way. And then Rasael Iglesias was fantastic.
Dude,
again as well.
Back-to-back days.
Yeah.
Back-to-back. I'm just talking about
two innings.
That's
before.
What I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Back-to-back off of a two-inning.
Yeah.
And then you come back tonight, and he's been lights out. I saw a funny clip this morning with what's my man? The fireballer that was with the Yankees, the closer. Chapman. Did you see that pitch he threw to them?
105?
How he smiled at each other?
Yeah. Machado was like, what are you doing?
What are you doing, dog?
Why are you doing this?
Why are you throwing a damn ball so hard? And how they just looked at each other. He just like, I was like, goodness gracious. 104.7.
Because it's cool that it was against a guy like Machado, too, who is also one of the greats in baseball.
Yeah.
Like, if anybody was going to be able to hit it, maybe it would be him.
Yeah.
But he didn't even swing and just looked at him like, what?
What
are we doing? Like, why? Please don't do that again.
Yeah, that was so great. But good news coming for the Braves. Michael Harris is coming back.
We love it.
He'll be back there in center field. And so you can play off of him where you want to put guys at.
Yes.
And everything like
when
that.
When you start with a great center fielder.
Yes, you can play.
It fixes a lot of the other issues that you're dealing with. Now, I do – have they announced the roster move, the corresponding roster move?
No.
Okay. Feels probably like – a farewell day for our guy Adam Duvall.
The
fact that he didn't even play last night, and
I guess it's a lefty. Yeah.
And so nice to see Laureano do something.
Yeah.
It was almost like an apology letter. For the night before. We'll take it. We'll take apologies in the form of home runs, especially in one-run games. But yeah, man, Braves win last night, 4-3, back-to-back extra inning wins over the Giants. Michael Harris is back today. It's just the roller coaster ride of a season continues. Me and Abe were talking about it earlier, standing outside. It was like, just as soon as you start to get really frustrated with them, they put a couple good games together.
Right.
Just as soon as you maybe start to get slightly confident, they fall off a cliff.
Yes.
Yeah. So
stay even,
we're
baby.
Just keep an even keel
stay
on this
even,
one,
baby. Stay
but
even.
Like the thing that is like unquestionably good is obviously winning the games, but getting Harris back,
because
that's going to be the key to if anything can be salvaged. Like if this anything can be salvaged this season and they can get hot at the right time, Harris getting healthy and contributing. Ozzy coming back when he's able to and contributing. Reynaldo Lopez had a pretty good start last night for Gwinnett. Not a great start,
but a
pretty good start. He only threw 71 pitches, so he'll probably be in the major leagues his next start. Max Fried getting back to normal. Like all of these things are the key to if anything is actually going to happen this year. So anyway, we'll see. Hopefully they do. Kirby Smart met with the media yesterday. One of the things he's talking about was depth at the skill positions.
Yeah, I think I talked about it a little bit. Like the ones can go out there and execute, get calls, line up. I mean, might not do it just right, but there's not a lot of errors. There's a good nucleus of 11 guys who've played a lot of football when you count Arian, Dylan, Oscar, Dom, and those guys. But there's not the depth around Carson at the skill positions that there's been in the past.
Yeah, I mean, but you look at it, those guys will be playing mixed in with those guys, you know, and so you won't have all those younger guys. And it's a process because you got to think a lot of these kids weren't in these type of offenses and have these concepts and these plays and different coverages and things like that. But they're going to be, you know, we know this, they're very, very talented. Or they wouldn't be in Georgia. They're very, very talented. And one thing about Kirby plays young players. And he's not going to give them a big load, but he's going to put you in there at a certain position. And he's going to let you know, or Bobo's going to call a play that you know that for a fact that you're probably going to get the ball in this play, or you got to block somebody. It's not going to be something where, okay, I know I got to clear out this zone so this can come in behind or anything like that. They're going to try to put it in a situation where these young men can just not think and just go out there and make a play. And so, I mean, Georgia has a really good skill player. They lost a dominant player in Brock Bowers, but they still have some really good players. Oscar Depp is a really good player.
Yes.
The kid from Sanford, really good player.
Yeah, Ben Urosek, which, by the way, is just such a tight end name.
Lawson Lucky is
Ben
Urosek. Lawson Lucky is a good football player, but he's got to get experience.
Right. Yeah, yeah, and that's what it is when you have generational talent like Brock Bowers, you don't just say, all right, who's the next guy? Like, hopefully there's a little bit of a committee. No, maybe Oscar Delp can kind of be the next guy. Also, you lose a talented wide receiver.
Reliable.
Yeah, a really talented wide receiver in Ladd McConkey as well. So it's not just Brock. Those are two really great players. Now, those guys were both hurt quite a bit last year, so you did get a chance to see some of that depth.
Yes.
I think the biggest game changer, though, or thing that sort of evens the playing field, levels the playing field, is the fact that you have Carson Beck.
Yes.
Like, if you also had a new quarterback, then you kind of look at all that. It's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
A lot of the other teams that are sort of at the top of the list in college football either have a new quarterback, which Ohio State does, Oregon does, some of these other teams have, or an entirely new skill position group like Texas does.
Right.
All these guys have been here. They're just not the guys that were the number ones last year.
Right.
Carson Beck is the great equalizer because he's
supposed to be
the best quarterback in college football. Yes. We'll see how that plays out over the course of the football season. But, like, yeah, I don't know. Every team has strengths when you start to look at the top end of college football, and every team has question marks and all that stuff. The thing that you hear about this Georgia team, beyond Carson Beck being, you know, one of the Heisman favorites and all that kind of stuff, is this offensive line maybe being the best group that Kirby's had.
These dudes are legit.
That's a huge deal.
They are legit, considering that, I mean, with Kirby had, what, 3 first-round tackles since he's been there?
Yeah, and they had a first-rounder last year.
Yeah, Andrew, Big Mims, and Broderick. Yeah, he's had 3, you know, first-round tackles. And so, and he's got another one coming up right now. I mean, and then you got to add Russ over there with all that. You know, you do lose the heart and soul of your offensive line. Van Pran is gone, but they got a guy who was maybe more talented than Van Pran taking his spot. So, yeah, that offensive line. But we said it yesterday, I'll continue to say it. Georgia's defensive line will determine how far they go. I truly do believe that because Carson Beck is there. You do got good skill. We already talked yesterday about this running back room that Georgia has. The secondary has all-world talent back there. Linebackers.
Yeah, they do.
Linebackers, young studs who we saw play last year. Then you get Smile back. Yeah. And then, but it's D-line. It's going to come down to them.
It does. I mean, that'll be the difference between, like, making and winning the national championship and just being a college football playoff team and winning one game or something like that. Right. Again, that's the level of elite that you're talking about when you're talking about Georgia. Outside of, you know, knocking on wood, anything devastating, injuries and stuff like that happening. But, like, a lot of bad stuff would have to happen for them to not make the college football playoff. You're right, though. Like, I think we talk so much – and it's natural to do this, but you talk so much about the quarterback, and then you sort of immediately shift to, okay, what maybe don't they have? That I think guys like Malachi Starks doesn't get the talk that he deserves.
Right.
Like, that guy's he's the best safety in the country.
Special.
He's one of the best safeties in years.
Special.
Like, this guy, he's going to be the first safety drafted this year. He's incredible. And, I mean, KJ Bolden's right behind him, too. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if he's starting next to him, and maybe Malachi being so good allows him to do that. I mean, I've heard whispers that KJ's ahead of where Malachi was at this point of his freshman year.
And we saw Malachi, didn't we?
Yeah, first interception in his first game, like an incredible interception in his first game. And then there's some other guys in that secondary that are really good, too. Like, Dalen Everett's a really good player. Janelle Aguero's a really good player. So, yeah, there's just a remarkable amount of talent on the Georgia roster, as always. We'll get back into – I think actually we'll do it later in the week because I know we did our sort of 1 through 10 in the AP poll. Teams that you buy, of course, you buy a lot of them. Maybe teams that you don't buy, and we talked about that. We'll do 11 through 20 and maybe even some 25 as far as teams that you think have a chance to really make a big leap this year. We were talking about Kyle Pitts earlier, seeing him and Cousins have a couple nice moments during practice. Kevin King is going to join us from the Falcons in the next 10 minutes or so, guy who's competing for one of these secondary jobs. Here's Kyle Pitts talking about Kirk Cousins.
Competitive excellence. He's been, like I said, he's been running a lot of balls, so he's seen, you know, great tight end, great receiver. So it's just for me to, you know, listen to what he's saying and apply it.
I love to hear the jug machines in the back. I mean, somebody's getting some work
in. Somebody's getting a little extra work.
Yeah, somebody's getting some work in. I mean, competitive excellence. I mean, Kurt has been around
a long time. Such a nice compliment.
It is. It's a Kirk Cousins type compliment.
It really is.
Yes.
He's got competitive excellence.
Competitive excellence. I mean, we've seen it out here today, man. And I know I saw a couple of – I didn't get to see the Drake London. I saw the Drake London catch. But, I mean, he's out there and he knows his offense. He's going to get him in the right position. And, you know, they just got to – the biggest thing, and we mentioned it earlier about the injuries. You lost some guys, but you got to figure out how to replace those guys. But I don't think you lost anybody that's earth-shattering.
No. You know? Not to make light of the injuries. Of course, that's not what you're doing.
Right.
But, like, you needed more depth at safety or in the secondary probably anyway.
Yes.
Like, the Simmons stuff, we talked about this yesterday. Like, having Simmons in, and we don't know the result of that. Hadn't been any announcement yet. But I would imagine you would have talked to him whether DeMarco Helms would have gotten injured or not.
Right?
I don't know. I mean, you said you saw Terry Fontenot on the phone a whole bunch on Monday.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's calling the Jets about their edge rusher. I don't know if he's calling the Patriots about theirs or whatever. But I hope he is, because I think they needed to be calling people about those guys even if Braylon Trice got hurt or not.
Right.
But he did get hurt. You know what I mean? So now there's even more urgency there than there otherwise would have been. So, yeah, man. I mean, those were spots that we already had question marks about before the preseason started. Then you got pretty big-time injuries at those spots in the first preseason game. Yeah. That makes those question marks even bigger.
Interesting how they're going to play this second game without the practice? Because they did have the practices against Miami.
Yeah.
How did they go about playing this second preseason game in Baltimore? You know, the thing with the whole Baltimore thing, it's always – well, it was at their practice facility where guys were – remember, their practice facility guys always are getting hurt and everything.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and so
– well, don't do that.
Yeah, don't do that.
Don't practice there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It'll be interesting. We know Kurt's not playing. Did the injuries kind of alter what might have happened this weekend?
Great question.
I don't know.
I would honestly probably.
I mean, if my
probably
if my starting quarterback isn't playing, I'm not playing anybody in my first team.
No.
Yeah, it don't make no sense to me.
Really.
If he's not out there, why did anybody?
It really doesn't.
Yeah.
We'll talk to a guy who is going to play. Kevin King's going to play. I mean, he's playing for a spot on this team. Pretty cool story as far as a guy who's been out of the NFL the last couple of years. We'll get a chance to talk to him coming up next. University of Washington legend, Kevin King, by the way. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today, and start packing. Thanks for being with us here on a hump day. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's Andy and Randy, live at Falcons Training Camp.
Exclusive training camp coverage is brought to you by Hooters. Ain't no party like a Hooters party.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Midday show with Andy and Randy when you hear. Just never know, you know.
You never know. Bo.
I like the variety. I like the variety. Coming back from breaks. So here's the deal. Falcons practice going a little bit longer today. Get a little extra work.
Yeah.
Randy was outside the door watching him, looking like, because usually they wrap around 11:30. You came in and said, well, they just started another period.
Another team session. Yeah, so, I mean, it's probably the last one they're going to do.
Right.
But they're, yeah. So,
but so that means our normal 11:40 interview with the Falcons player, which today will be Kevin King, will be a little bit later. And if he walks in 5 minutes, we'll talk to him in 5 minutes. If it's 12 o'clock, we'll talk to him at 12 o'clock, whatever it is. But that gives us an opportunity to promote a couple of things. First and foremost, Grant McCauley will join us in about half an hour from right now. Talk to him about the first couple games of this Braves-Giants series. Talk to him about Michael Harris coming back. Maybe get an Ozzie Albies update. All that kind of stuff from Grant. And then do a little NFL No Huddle stuff here as well, as we probably won't get a chance to do a full NFL No Huddle coming up at noon. We're kind of going through some of this stuff. I know Jamar Chase had been...
Yeah, man.
Practice,
yeah, man.
Holding in.
Yes.
Yesterday was the first day he wasn't there.
Yes.
So now he's holding out?
I don't know.
He's doing the hokey pokey.
It could have been. Because we haven't heard whether it was excused or anything.
Day to day.
Okay. And so they said day to day. Was it something? I don't know. I have no clue. But yeah, when I saw that, because you got to understand certain organizations and certain owners. And they are one of those teams. They got an old school owner and Mr. Brown. And what they said was, we're not going to address it. I'm just telling you, I would be really surprised if Jamar Chase got a contract extension.
That's just the way they
do business.
Which, yeah. Old school is one way to put it.
Yes, but that's how they did business.
Kind of
cheap. They did it with Chad. They paid the quarterback.
They paid
Carson Palmer back in the day.
Yep.
But they did pay Chad, but they had to, you know, whatever. But I'd be really surprised if Jamar Chase gets a contract. Does he deserve it? Hell yeah. Oh. He's making $1 million this year.
Yeah. No. Jamar Chase is one of the best receivers in football.
Yes.
It always seemed like a tough juggling act they were going to have to pull off with how they were going to handle Burrow, his contract, T. Higgins, Jamar Chase, all this kind of stuff. And up until now, outside of the injuries that they've had to deal with, they've done a good job of it. Like they've had the guys on the field. They haven't had any contract problems keeping guys off the field. Injuries have kept guys off the field.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, it was always going to come to a head. Again, we talk about this all the time in the NFL. This is the downside or the flip side of being so good at drafting. You draft well enough for long enough, all your best guys come up for contracts at the same time.
Right.
And if you draft well enough at the wrong – I don't say the wrong position because it's the right position to have good players at. But if you have a quarterback and two top-flight wide receivers, somebody's going to be unhappy.
Yep.
Like, it's going to end up with somebody being unhappy.
But the thing about it is, it's like it's all about when you go to them with these contracts – everything, because you look at the Eagles, they got two high-priced receivers and a high-priced quarterback.
That's true.
Dolphins, two high-priced receivers and a quarterback. So I think it's just a timing when you go to the Eagles do it the best, in my opinion, than most people because they go early. they try to get you when it's like, say, 8 to 10 million less, and they'll come to you with a contract. You're sitting there like, hell yeah, let me go and grab this.
Sure, that sounds great.
Yeah, let me go and grab this right here.
But then a couple years in, or by the time the money kicks in, it's slightly below market value, which, again,
but they had to go. That's why they went and gave AJ more money.
Right.
You're like, okay, well, you know, let's take care of AJ. So, I mean, it's just all about, you know, budgeting and all those different things. Because I hear everybody talking about, well, the Cowboys just valued at $10 billion, highest, you know, it's most expensive whatever sports team in the world.
Yeah.
And so you're like, well, why can't they pay CeeDee? They can pay CeeDee Lamb. They want to pay CeeDee Lamb. They're going to pay CeeDee Lamb. Everything is about structure. It's not necessarily – it is, you know, when people want to look at the average and the guarantees, but it's so much more that goes into these contracts. It's structure, the injury guarantees, all this other stuff that a lot of times – that's what usually holds things up a lot of times.
That's exactly. That's all the stuff because, like, I'm always – okay, training camp starts today. You knew all summer you're going to have to get it done.
Right.
What are we doing?
Right.
It's like, well, they had to wait till this guy got his contract, and then you get the details of that guy's contract. Mm-hmm. So then he wants a little bit more guaranteed here, or he wants a little bit more because he's been holding in, and now he's
that's what I'm
seemingly
like,
holding
he has,
out.
Like literally, you say it all the time. His leverage is him.
Yeah.
Like,
which is great.
Which
leverage.
Which is great leverage
because they desperately need to Jamar Chase on that football team.
But like. And this is the same situation that Justin Jefferson was in last year. He played and all those different things, and he got his money this past offseason. But, I mean, just going by the Bengals' history, I don't see Jamar Chase getting the contract.
It's dicey, man. The Brandon Ayuk saga continues. The report is that they're not that far apart on a contract extension. Okay. We'll see.
Yeah.
When it gets done, it'll get
done. I just think that he wants to be in San Fran. He's waiting for San Fran to help him out with as far as the money-wise.
He wants to be in San
Fran.
But
I think
– he just wants to get paid.
But the thing is, I think that if San Fran does trade him, San Fran don't want draft picks.
Yeah.
They want a player. They want
player. We were talking about this off the air yesterday. If it is Pittsburgh.
I'm asking for George Pickens.
I would. That's the first thing I ask for. Absolutely.
And if Pittsburgh, do you think about it? Because George's going to be coming up for a contract.
I would think about it.
I would think about it.
I wouldn't want to do it. And then you also think about it, you know, from the third party perspective of us and everyone listening to us, the Falcons, who play them week one. I don't want Brandon Ayuk and George Pickens on that team with the depth that's corner that this Falcons team has right now. I know we'll talk to Kevin King in a minute. Probably won't ask him that.
Yeah, but
that doesn't sound like any fun.
But I mean, that's why I would add, and if I'm thinking just my perspective, I don't think that Brandon Ayuk's better than George Pickens.
No, I don't either, but I think both of them together is a dynamic combo.
Yeah, but that goes back to the game planning of it because you got a team.
I don't think George Pickens does well with Brandon Ayuk being traded there.
I don't think
that's something he would from a maturity standpoint, from what I don't know him, but from what I hear of him, doesn't seem like something he would love.
And I don't, and I mean, I think we mentioned this, or me and Abe might have talked about it last week. I said the same thing, Bunk. But the thing with it is that with how Pittsburgh is going to do it, they can pay George because they're going to have a cheap quarterback.
Yeah.
They're going to have a cheap
quarterback. One way or the other, at least a little while.
One way or the other, they're going to have a cheaper quarterback. Yeah. But you look at this matchup, and we got ways, and we're going to talk about this game. The biggest advantage Pittsburgh has over the Falcons ain't them two. It's Arthur Smith. Arthur Smith, this is his team. He knows how to attack these teams.
Yeah.
He knows what Jesse Bates is going to do, and he's going to set it up the whole damn game.
Him over the top.
Yeah, he knows everything. So that's the bigger issue is the fact that how do you defend a coach that knows you?
Yes.
He knows your weaknesses. He knows –
That is a big deal, given that Arthur Smith will have, especially at the quarterback position, more talent than he's had in a number of years when he was here. The thing that worries me most about that matchup is the edge rushers, the pass rushers that Pittsburgh has.
That's the second one.
Yeah. Arthur Smith knowing the team for sure is definitely like, – but, like, all right, that doesn't, like – make me fear for people's well-being.
Yeah, but that dude that wears number 90?
And also Highsmith? Those two guys?
Yeah.
Those are like two of the best eight pass rushers in the NFL.
And they're fresh?
And they're fresh week one? Yeah. No, that's what worries me.
Oh, yeah.
That's what worries me for like – that's why you said Charlie Warner made a great catch. I'm like, good. Work on blocking.
Yeah, man. It's going to be –
get on the edge and help your boy Caleb McGarry out.
It's going to be –
because TJ Watt just wanders.
Yes.
And then he finds –
He
finds his buddy.
Yeah, there he is. But, yeah, I mean, they're so – they post – and we're getting so far ahead of ourselves.
They
post
so
many problems for you because we're talking about this Brandon Ayuk and Pittsburgh coming in and all those other things. But I think he ultimately wants to stay. But I think San Fran, they want somebody back. Yeah. They're in their win mode now. They don't need draft picks.
They don't want draft picks.
They don't want draft picks.
They want all right, George Pickens then. Oh, you don't want to trade George Pickens? All right, Minka Fitzpatrick. Because
yeah.
That's the name that's been
we
out
want
there.
Something.
Give me Minka.
We want something.
Like, you're talking about a San Francisco team that went to the overtime in the Super Bowl last year.
Yes.
And then if they add Minka Fitzpatrick to that defense, that's disgusting.
Yeah, but they want players.
Who else would they want? Because if I'm Pittsburgh, I say absolutely not.
To both those guys.
I'm not trading either one of those guys. I don't know. What do you want? Yeah, Najee Harris or something like that?
No,
I don't want that. No, we got the best running back in the NFL.
I know he's hurt.
He gets hurt all the time.
But no.
Oh, you sure you want a little insurance policy?
No.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what you ask for, but you want a player.
Yes.
Like, I'm not, you know, if I'm San Francisco, you can't be
starter, baby.
But who are the other guys that are out there besides that? Alvin Kamara left practice yesterday with a back injury. Says it's no big deal.
No, he won't mind.
Hopefully it's no big deal, but I mean,
he won't mind.
Yeah, he also gets hurt a lot.
Yeah, he wants money.
As much fun as he is to watch play.
Yeah, he wants money.
When he's healthy, he's very good.
Yes, he is. But I just knew because he's so good. But that role that he worked in with Mark Ingram, perfect role for him. Then he became the feature back, and that's when he started getting them nicks and everything.
Yeah,
like
gave him
that.
The ball a lot.
Yeah,
he got the ball like ten more times a game.
Exactly.
And he's not huge.
Exactly.
And you get hit a few more times by linebackers in the NFL, and that sucks.
Yeah.
All right, so here's what we're going to do, because it sounds like practice is wrapping now. We're going to get to a little bit of an early break here and then come back on the other side, and Falcons corner Kevin King will join us. So we appreciate you being with us here on a hump day Wednesday.
Ooh, they running too.
What, they're doing a little
wind sprints, baby.
Extra conditioning?
Yeah, man.
Uh-oh, somebody messed up. All right, we'll come back. Kevin King's going to join us on the other side. Don't go anywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. The biggest tailgate party in the state is right here. It's the Wade Ford.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.